Hey, what's going on, guys and gals? This is Dana with D&L Studios, LLC, right outside of a little town called Honeaker, close enough to dip my toe in Kentucky and West Virginia in about 20 minutes either way. And today I have the privilege, and I mean the absolute privilege, of talking to Miss Tricia Rose. I met Tricia about 3 years ago on a platform to where volunteers were narrating books for people that were, they really just couldn't see or they couldn't read the books themselves. And the goal from LibriVox was to absolutely record every single book that was in the public domain. And that's where I met her. And we got to talking. And I'm absolutely 100% just so proud of this young lady and the things that she's accomplished, because she went from being a volunteer to where now she is a full-fledged narrator, storyteller, however you want to say it. And Tricia, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 3 years, but you were very instrumental in taking that first step beyond volunteerism and turning this into a professional gig. And I'll always be grateful for that. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And you know, people, they see it in this particular type of industry, especially with audio music, with bands. You can basically listen to somebody and you just know instantly if the talent is there, if it needs to be worked on, if it has to be nurtured. And I just cannot get over when I started listening to some of the stuff that you did on a volunteer basis, that it was just absolutely gorgeous. And that is rare.
Thank you.
Well, listen, you know, how did you get interested in doing the audio books or you know, the narration or the volunteering? You know, what brought you into that realm of the audio world?
Well, I think looking back, I can see how throughout my whole life, there were just stepping stones. I think I've always been subconsciously interested in doing audio narration, audio voiceover, even from probably before I could even really read. My mom would entertain me by setting me down in front of the tape recorder, and there was that red light that shone whenever it was recording, and I got to learn the buttons and pushed the buttons, and then I started, you know, we still have audio cassette tapes of when I was really little, and I'm just, you know, blabbing nonsense. and then I began to learn to read, and so I would narrate my picture books. And you can just kind of hear as I get older, then I learned chapter books, and I was reading to myself Little House on the Prairie. And that was just so much fun. When I had homework and I would work on it in the evenings, I would read the allotted sections from the social studies workbook. I would read them out loud to myself in different voices just to entertain myself a little bit more.
You know, that is so cool, because you have, you know, I mean, if you were in a psychiatrist's office, they would call you Sybil, because you literally can change your voice.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess I've had a lot of practice. I remember being really young, and I had like this slew of different voices that I would practice my ABCs in this voice and in this voice and in this voice and in this voice, and you know, I would go through them, and I've just added to them and developed them along the way. But yeah, it just was what I did naturally. And then when I graduated from high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do in life. So I was kind of lost there for a while, but then I found LibriVox.org and started, as soon as I started volunteering there, I knew immediately, this is what I want to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I just began learning everything I could about what it takes to be an audiobook narrator and voiceover and all the different options and how do you get from point A to point B. And
well, you know, I was going to ask you if you had any formal training before you started this, but, you know, it sounds like that you truly have been paying your dues since a child. You know, because that's what they refer to it as, you know, because one of the purposes I wanted to do this was I get a lot of emails, I get a lot of chats from Facebook, you know, people that want to get into narration, and all they see are those dollar signs, but they don't really understand that it's probably I'm not going to say one of the hardest jobs they're ever going to have. It takes a lot of dedication, right?
Yeah, definitely dedication. How bad do you want it? And I've wanted this probably, I'm going to say, my journey from the time I realized this is what I wanted to do to now, it's been about 10 years. So, and I'm not, I guess it depends on how you define success or when you know you've arrived or whatever. I don't know if we ever do arrive, but...
Well, listen, I'm going to cut you off right there. You're being a little bit humble. In my honest opinion, you have arrived, young lady. I'm not going to get into specifics because Miss Tricia, she's a very private individual. But yeah, from somebody on the outside looking in, I'd say you pretty well made it.
Oh, thank you.
Well, listen, what audio gear did you start with? I know the Radio Shack. Was that a big black recorder with the big buttons?
Oh, yeah. Well, probably my very, very first one, you know, the
Fisher Price CNC.
The audio cassette player. I don't know if you've ever seen those. Something I should mention that really was formative for me when I was young was my grandparents gave me as a Christmas present those Disney picture books with the red audio cassette tapes that you will know when it's time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you ever look it up and see an old retro photo of kids listening to it on one of those cassette tapes, it wasn't like a player. It wasn't huge, but yeah, I've had those huge ones too, and my sister and I would make up our own radio skits, kind of in the same vein as old-time radio.
That's awesome. You know, it is funny. I mean, when I started in this profession, you know, I was literally 15 years old. I was using a Radio Shack, big black cassette recorder. At a little Baptist church in Cocoa, Florida. And that's what we recorded to. The pastor wanted a tape ministry, and that's what we used. You know, that's what we had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And things have a change. So what kind of gear are you using now?
Now it is a Shure SM58, and I have an Elias interface. And my DAW of choice is Reaper.
Oh, I wonder where you learned all that from.
Because,
you know, and I always try and practice what I preach. I'm using the Elias right now.
Okay.
And I absolutely love it. They're a great little mixer. They're not that high priced. They are definitely professional gear. And it just makes it so easy because, you know, you got to have the gear in order to produce, especially with the ACX. And you know, can you expand on that? I mean, there's a lot of requirements.
Yeah, the ACX can be pretty tricky, especially for beginners. Although I have to be 100% honest, I haven't done anything directly through ACX yet. or I may not choose to. I've chosen to not to at this time, but I do work for some production companies that to get it on to Audible, they'll go through ACX. So, but yeah, it is basically ACX standards. So,
and I actually have that up there on the website from a sound engineer's point of view. And it's, you've got to have the proper gear in order to meet those specifications. And you are correct. People just starting out, you know, they'll get rejected and rejected because if you don't meet them, they won't pass your audio.
Right. Yeah, it can be quite a bottleneck because a lot of people wait to have their books put onto Audible through ACX, and there's just so many people that are not meeting the standards, and so then they're sent back, and my understanding is it's becoming sort of a bottleneck situation. But
well, it is, and you know, there's nothing in writing. But I know from experience to where if you keep submitting your audio and it keeps failing, they're going to move you to the back of the list because they're trying to get their product out there, you know, and get their authors and their narrators that are making, meeting the specifications, and they're literally pushing them. And that's my opinion, but they're pushing them straight to the head of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had such a bunch of questions, and I was going to ask you, what did you do to enhance your audio or your speaking skills? But you've been doing this since a child. And, when I talk about paying your dues, and I'm going to drop Taylor Swift's name here, people just think, blonde, young, came out singing, but she started, when she could walk. and she, again, she was doing it all her life.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think the only one that I can truly say, Cyndi Lauper, I think she got discovered up in Pennsylvania or Ohio singing karaoke.
Hey.
And, somebody walked in and heard her. And look at her.
Yeah.
She just skyrocketed out. And I still listen to her music. I'm a big Lauper fan.
Hey, it's Pennsylvania. Good things come from Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania.
She is from Pennsylvania, right? Is it Pennsylvania?
Originally, yeah. But I live in Michigan now.
Well, I know you do. I was talking about Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, let me ask you, because you do have such a wide variety in your ability, because, there is a true difference, and I want people to understand this. There is a huge difference between narration and being a voice actor or VO. You'll see that a lot. And with you, you are truly a voice actor that can do narration, but just because you do narration doesn't mean that you can be a voice actor.
Right. And I like that's if you boil it down to it, narration is acting, but yeah, I like the voiceover actor moniker because it doesn't pigeonhole me into one genre of the industry. I'm actually, this year, I have branched out into audio dramas, and that's really exciting because that was kind of an ultimate dream for me. So That's been really fun.
Well, is that one of your, favorite parts to play? Do you have a favorite? Do you, because this truly does mystify me. I've been working with audio all my life. You got a band, I can hook the mics up. It doesn't matter whether I like your music or not. I'm there, I'm getting paid to do a job. But I have listened to your work in these audiobooks or these things that you've done. I keep saying audiobooks. In these things that you've done, and it's like if I didn't know you, I'd never know it was you.
Well, that's sort of funny because when I first started getting more serious about narrating and my first full-length solo recording on LibriVox was the book Pollyanna by Eleanor H. Porter. And the audio quality is not, shall we say, up to par exactly, but it was, you know, I was starting out and I was getting some good feedback from it. And I sent it to some relatives and because they wanted to hear it and they started playing it and they thought, oh, you know, it sounds pretty good, but when does Trisha start talking?
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't feel so bad now, because if your own family can't recognize you, I'm doing pretty good. And, you know, I should clarify something. When I talk about narration, you know, I'm just a guy. The shortest book I ever narrated was 2.5 minutes. It's probably the one that's made me one of the most, or the most money, was how to close your Amazon account. Literally, how to get out, how to log off of Amazon. You know, you got to give like
I should have listened to that.
Do what?
I said I should have listened to that.
Well, that's what it was. You know, it's so complicated. So this guy goes, you know what? I'm going to write a book. So I seen it and I think it took me 4 minutes, literally 4 minutes. And with the ACX, you have to give at least a 3-minute preview. You know, so I literally had to contact them and said, you know, what do you want me to do? It's the whole book. They said, I'll just give us a minute of it and that'll be fine. And this thing has absolutely sold like hotcakes.
Huh.
But the point that I was trying to go back and correct, when I do narration, I'm more of a technical guy. I'm more of a manual. I that's what I read, whether it's audio manuals. You know, if I buy the lawnmower, you know, I'm going to read the manual before I even, you know, start it up type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point that I should make, because there are a lot of narrators that are reading these stories that do require, you know, some sort of voice acting. And the narration I was referring to is strictly just boring out of your mind, you know, take screw A out and insert it in slot B, type, you know, put 15 pounds of torque on it, move to the next step. So with that, there's really no voice acting. You can't really make putting the lawnmower together sound, you know, too exciting.
Hey, if you could.
Well, you know, hey, today we're going to put a John Deere lawnmower together. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's the passion that counts.
Send your wife to Walmart with your credit card, you know, grab your toolbox and follow me. Hey, you got any projects coming up? Because I caught something on your Facebook page. The largest?
Oh, yeah. It is the largest cast for an audio drama version of the Bible. But I haven't been cast in it. I just put an audition out, but they wanted, as part of, I guess, their marketing tack is, if you want to put your audition in, then also share it on social media. So, which I did, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I have been a part of several audio dramas this past year. I just did a recording session last week for a brand new, exciting audio drama that I don't know if I can quite reveal what it is yet. I'm just because I'm not 100% sure they're ready to announce it, but
if I was Ellen, I'd be able to drag that out of you.
Well, it'll be on my Facebook as soon as I'm sure I can make that publicly available. But yeah, I was thrilled.
We'll give everybody, you know, if you want to, we can give them a way to contact you later on. And, mm-hmm. You know, my wife has got into audiobooks in the last year.
Good for her.
She's actually, I'd say, probably listens to maybe 4 or 5 a week now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they send them to her in the mail. I got to say it. Hey, honey, come here. Listen to this. Do you like that? I said, yeah. She goes, you want me to order you any? I said, honey, I do this online every single day. Every single day. You know, that's why I'm in there 10 hours a day. You know, in the office, I said, honey, I hear them all the time. I said, but, you know, and we do. When we plan our trips or something out, then I'll take them. And we it's nothing fancy. It's just got a plug. We can take it from the phone, plug it into the car. And that's what we listen to going down the road now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so audiobooks have just absolutely exploded, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years.
And it's something constructive. I mean, there's so much entertainment out there today that it's just putting your brain on veg, basically, you know, but audiobooks is different in that you can engage. I mean, just like if you were reading a physical book, you know, it engages the imagination.
Oh, absolutely. You literally get lost in it.
Right. Fires off all those healthy neurons and such. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get the right narrator and it can just pull you right in and immerse you in the story, in the drama, or whatever you're into. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you know, because I used to look at them all the time when we were on the road, and you know, you pull in the Cracker Barrel, and that, I think that's where I really first started seeing them, and that was way, way, way back. You know, it would be the cassettes.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's when you had cassette decks in your cars, and you know.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give to someone who may be interested in doing voice acting, or maybe just starting out?
My advice would be just learn all you can from. I mean, there's lots of information available for free on the internet. However. Take it with a little bit of grain of salt, because not everything out on the internet for free is helpful. Sometimes you'll find contradicting information. But if you just begin to read a lot and start to follow maybe some of your favorite narrators on YouTube or on their social media feed, and you'll begin to pick out what are the legitimate voices that you should that you can pay attention to, with as far as advice goes. A YouTube video that I really enjoy watching is VO Buzz Weekly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really like that one. And that one can introduce you to so many different genres of the voiceover world. So, you know, not just audiobooks, but What else is available? There's promos, there's documentaries, there's trailers, there's commercials, all sorts of things. Video games is also a big one.
That's one that's really moved ahead in the market the last few years.
Mm-hmm. And also, I began to identify who the top narrators in the industry were. So I would listen to advice from Scott Brick, or Catherine Kellgren was one of my favorites that I discovered. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple years ago. And then there's Pat Fraley is a very good teacher, and he has some resources available for free on his website. So you begin to get a feel for who is legitimate and who isn't so much, you know, and then you can pick your way through. But also, taking what I learned from these sources and then practicing and experimenting with them on LibriVox. So I would try out this accent, or, you know, and become more confident in, say, a British accent, or try different styles of narration whether it be poetry or nonfiction or memoir, short story, children's, you know, all different kinds of things, and see what I had more of a bent toward.
Right.
And just try things out. Those were big first steps, I would say.
Well, you know, that's pretty cool too, because you're actually getting OJT, you know, and still providing the service for people that can no longer read.
Yeah.
You know, and it has to make you feel good.
Well, I pray that the projects that I've had a part in would bless people in some way. When I think about it in that way, that sort of provides the deeper meaning or purpose for what I do.
Right. Well, listen, if somebody wanted to go up and listen to you, where would they go?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Trisha Rose, just how it sounds. And I also have a brand spanking new website. And that is, you can go there by typing in TrishaRoseVoice.com.
Oh, very good.
And also LibriVox.
Now, in LibriVox, are you going by your actual, your stage name, or are you going by?
I believe you can type in my name now. I think I've changed it, but my username was The Story Girl, all
That's
one
right.
word.
There we go. That's what it was. The Story Girl.
A lot of my early stuff, though. So, you'll be able to see where my earliest beginnings and hopefully how I've changed and grown.
I've never met an actor. I've never met a pianist, a guitar player, a group, a soloist. That said, man, if they could go back and just literally take their first works off the internet, they would. And, you know, I look at that. I go back and look at some of my training videos, and it's like, you know, man, delete, 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 delete.
You have to start somewhere.
Well, that's it. That's it. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, you're going to stumble a little bit before you can walk. And, you know, before you can run, you got to do your fair share of walking and things of that nature. Well, listen, it has been absolutely wonderful talking with you.
Well, thank you. It's been nice to reconnect with you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I feel the same way, because I hope you don't get mad at me telling people this, because when I first met you, I think you thought I was just some creepy old man.
Well... You just have to be careful who you talk to online sometimes. But yeah, I think we were able to move on past that, and and you're a very big part of my story of how I got started, and I'll always be grateful for that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've told you before, I am so proud of you. The talent was already there. You developed this as a child. You paid your dues. You put your time in. And my goal when I try and help people out is just make sure they don't waste their money on a bunch of gear that they don't need. And like you said, you know, follow the people that are doing this. Follow the people that are in the industry that you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what they do. You know, imitation, they say, is, I guess, the best form of flattery. Don't try and be exactly like them. You know, use some of their features that you like. Develop your own characters.
Mm. Yeah, and have fun.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm going to go. Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I'm pretty sure, matter of fact, I know it's going to help a lot of people out there just starting. And, you know, like I always tell you, you go, girl.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for believing in me.
Well, you did all the hard work. Absolutely did it. And that's going to be it. And folks, I hope you enjoyed the interview. I hope you got something from it. Go up there and check it out. Trisha Rose, just like it sounds, voice, right? Trisha Rose Voice?
Correct.
.com. And God bless, take care, and we are out of here.